And now, back to our regularly scheduled program. Here we go. All right, the recorder quit there because the memory was full. All right. It's like trying to teach a Democrat something. You put a new idea in their head, and you stand there and you watch that one idea on that little brain cell looking for any place to jump to. Find another place in that brain.
That'll really jump our brains up.
All right. Alright, so 1 John 3:8 again. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. What was his purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So we've seen two purposes of God. One of them, the purpose of the church, is to give the devil's wisdom. Okay? And to manifest God's wisdom. Not necessarily that they'll get wisdom, but to manifest that wisdom too.
And that's Ephesians
3:9-10. The purpose of Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh is to destroy the works of the devil. The last place being Isaiah 14, going to about verse 25. Mm-hmm. Now go to verse 24. Isaiah 14, verse 24.
I'm getting used to you. I didn't even read it.
14:24.
The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains, and tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. That term Assyrian is used in the Bible 13 times. Okay, no doubt it's the devil. For example, he says, and my people sojourned in Israel, and the Assyrian persecuted them there. Okay, when they're in Israel, it was Pharaoh persecuted. No, it was the Assyrian, it's the devil. Okay, so what's the purpose? Verse 26, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that's stretched out upon the nations. So what did he say his purpose was? He's determined to destroy the Assyrian in his mountains and on his land. When does God dig the devil on his mountains and his land to destroy him?
Armageddon.
Revelation 19. So what's the purpose of the earth? Armageddon. Okay? Imagine that. He's got a war with the devil, and he makes the earth. Said, by the way, big boy, I'm going to meet you right there. Go ahead.
So I've got to ask. Okay, this said, all of these sound like that they were things that were purposed after Satan fell. But if God's all-knowing, he knew that he would fall, so why even bother creating him?
It's just God plays things out. It's just one of the things he does. Why God does it necessarily, but God plays things out. He could have destroyed Pharaoh in 5 seconds, but he put him through 10 plagues. Okay, just the way God does things.
I've always wondered why he didn't just even get another one.
Nope, just the way God does things, right?
I have a question about Pharaoh.
Right.
So, and I know you've preached this before, but with the Assyrian being Pharaoh during Egypt, the one persecuting them, is it the Assyrian during Moses' time or other pharaohs or that pharaoh? Or
that particular pharaoh, okay, is just a pharaoh.
Okay.
But the Assyrian is the overall dominating spirit that's persecuted the Jews since day one.
So it wasn't like the Assyrian was Pharaoh.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. But that didn't hurt to ask that. There are 7 heads to the dragon. And those 7 heads are represented by 7 different kingdoms that have been raised up to destroy, to try to conquer the earth and to destroy Israel. Starting with Nimrod. The Old Testament, Tower of Babel, you get into, you know, there's Pharaoh and there's Nebuchadnezzar and you go into there and it finally ends up with Caesar being the 6th of them and the Antichrist being the 7th. And
oh, come on, give me a good list.
Hmm?
We got 3.
Short small.
Nimrod.
Well, we go from Nimrod, then we go to Pharaoh. from Pharaoh, I think then Nebuchadnezzar, then you go to after Nebuchadnezzar, I guess it's Cyrus, Darius and Cyrus. Cyrus being the last one there, then Caesar. I'm probably missing one there. Oh, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great's in there. He's the Greek talked about the and the book of Daniel. Yeah, so Alexander the Great would be just before Caesar.
That's right.
Well, if Caesar's after
Caesar nine, should be six.
That would be the ninth in your list here. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Name them.
Nimrod, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Darius, Alexander.
All right, Darius probably isn't in there, but there's because you got Nimrod, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, and we've got to end up all the way to six. So we've got from there, we got two others. So, okay, so it would probably be, yeah, it'd be Cyrus then, and it would be
Caesar.
Alexander and Caesar. I don't know. I'd have to figure that out and see which way. Yeah, it's seven heads altogether. And I've had it down before, but I'd have to. Again, I'm winging this from the top of my head. Quit counting, Tanya. You're always a jerk of these Bible studies, you know? All right.
It stimulates the gray cells.
Yes. Problem is, I don't have enough gray cells to stimulate. All right. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. All right, read in verse 11, Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And faith in Jesus Christ will give you boldness, it'll give you confidence. Yeah, those are two things that it absolutely will.
I don't need boldness.
You need a righteous boldness.
That's right.
Yes. And confidence that you lack. All right. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not for my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Okay. And so Paul's just saying, look, you've seen all the stuff I'm going through. And Paul says, by the way, that's for your glory. Now just stop and think about that.
Yeah, how's that?
Do you think Paul ever thought it's unfair and why am I going through this and why do I have to deal with this and everything else? Why? Because God has a plan for you down here and all these people, this is for their glory. Okay? And there's just something about that God has a way of taking the people that he's going to use and absolutely sitting on them and keeping them weak and keeping them absolutely low and keeping them absolutely at the bottom. And God just has a way of doing it. Okay? Hey, there's eternity.
Could be maybe so they can relate better to the people that they're trying to
reach. And there is a purpose
right,
in that.
There is that
okay?
Too, yeah.
I remember Ruth Ann and I sitting in a welfare line one time and I was humiliated and sitting there and I just looked and I told her, I said, we're going through this because God's going to give us a people who've been through this. Okay? We're going through this because God's going to give us a people who this is the only life they know.
I'm just telling you, that's why I was at Wall Street.
Yeah. Yep. Paul said, it's for your glory. That's why I go for it. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he said, I want you to be strengthened that way. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, again, there's a four-dimensional thing. The height, the width, the breadth, and the depth. Okay? It's four-dimensional. And this is the Apostle Paul says, I actually get on my knees and I pray that God would strengthen you, but with his might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that you could comprehend these things, the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth.
I was thinking about this earlier. This verse, actually, Miss Amy sent it to me, and I was thinking about it. When there's a little baby, when they're first born, they will root around.
Yep.
And that actually is their grounding to where they're at.
Yep.
And you look at that verse, and especially for newborn people that have become saved, that is what Christ is to them. He's their everything.
Yeah, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. And this is why I can't even imagine what church would be about if we didn't teach these things.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why, really, if you go to these churches, everybody just kind of sits around and sings happy, sappy things, and you know, and it can't change their life. All they want is to get a 14-year-old to say, "Oh, isn't it neat to be in church?" And that's the victory because the kid said it, and you know, and but they don't know how to change their lives. And this will change your life. This will profoundly change your life in ways you can't even begin to imagine, can't begin to plot, can't begin to do anything with, where God gets a hold of your life and God begins to do stuff with it.
Yep.
It's the same thing that I was telling Dale the other day on his post. Is, I mean, ever since I was little, I mean, probably Christiana's age, I'd been in and out of churches and nobody cared enough to show me that I was totally off base. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted to get their hands dirty.
Right. Yep. Most churches exist for tureen dinners.
Right.
Tureen dinners.
Oh.
Yeah.
Potluck.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I heard tureen.
It's sad because it's come to the point where they just preach to each other, man. They put up their defense. The ones that are supposed to be in the churches, they're pushing them out, preaching to each other, and they're putting their defense up.
You know. Brother Vernon's having a big problem down in the South right now, just with all these churches, that even the fundamental churches, because they've lost the power of God to go into the populace and carve Christians out of the populace, they've just lost that power. They don't have it anymore. Therefore, they all sit there jealously with a few little families they have, and they've actually turned where they're beginning to do skits and things now to keep people involved, and because they don't have anything else for the people. It's just not there. They don't have it.
No power, man.
Yep, no power whatsoever. And
just telling you, the Bible's that.
What's that now?
They can't even carve a life out of the ones they
have. No, they can't carve a life out of the ones they have. The people that come, and they are like English barristers. You know what an English barrister looks like in court? He wears a white wig. And they will. You take a young lawyer who's just out of college, first thing that will be given at graduation is a white wig. Yeah, You will not go in and argue it out in English court without wearing that wig. And they'll wear that thing, and you can tell the good lawyers they have very expensive wigs that cost a lot of money in that. Others will have just some cheap little thing they put on. One will forget his, borrow his from inside. But that's like fundamentals going to church now. They all dress up and pretend this is what they really are. You know, and it's just, and they don't live that way. No barrister wears that wig at home. And, you know, it's just a big show for the court.
There was a man, I got really upset with him on Amos's post saying that unsaved people are never even supposed to be allowed in the church. I got so mad at him.
What does that make sense? Where would you pull something like that out of the church? Like you'd stand in front of Jesus and tell him that.
For one thing, that guy probably shouldn't go to church.
No, he should.
Yeah, and it's nonsense. It's idiocy. Yeah, I mean,
you're right. Yeah.
And he used the verse about you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. I'm like, well, don't marry him.
Yes. Don't go to Walmart with him.
That's right.
Boneheads.
And ironically, he has a church of 500 and he thinks they're all saved.
And that's pretty typical. They think they're all saved, and if the rapture hit, it wouldn't slow down the program they had.
That's right. And that something?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what they told me over at the Sio. Well, we're getting up to 400 people. And
which Sio?
The Genesis Church.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you look at every one of their lives, they're still getting tattoos, smoking, drinking, and everything else. But you got a whole saved crowd.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not as big as the Catholics.
They are not.
Yeah. All right. So verse 18 again. May be able to comprehend with all saints was the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You can't explain the love of Christ.
Yes.
Passeth knowledge. There's no knowledge that you could ever do or somebody could get it. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And again, I just love that description. Mm. What is it? Unto him. Under who? The one that can do exceeding above and beyond all that we ask or think. What could you ask or think God could do? He can do exceeding above that. See? He can do exceeding above that. But anything that you can think of, for your family, whatever, he can do exceeding above that. Exceeding above it. Whatever it is that you're thinking, you just have to aim to exceeding above and beyond that. He says so. That's why it's one of his titles. It's one of the ways of describing him. He can do exceeding above and beyond that. Anything that you desire, Donna, he could do exceeding above and beyond it. He could do more than that.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
Very few people will ever get to know him that way.
I prayed that to God yesterday.
Amen.
God.
You pay a price to know God.
I have. Well, I'm just telling you.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So the Lord had designed this thing that through all ages, never stopping, never time it ended, to Jesus Christ, the glory's going to come to God, stay with us. Now,
Pastor?
Yes?
Then this kingdom has got to be God the Father.
Not unto him that is able to do, yeah, okay, that's fine. Able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think through Christ. Yeah, that's good. Now, in fact, let's go on to chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What's the therefore? Goes
there.
Back up to there. Because of all that, walk worthy of that vocation. If God's called you to do something, walk worthy of that.
That's right, yes.
You know, say to yourself, I want to walk worthy of that. One of the things I love since I've moved to Cuba is going into Giant, seeing all the young men with ties on. And I know some of them young men are rascals, you know. You know that? But you know what? There's something about that tie on there, and you walk up and say, where's the pumpkin pie filling? And a young man that stops what he's doing and walks over there. And he's not even that way out there in real life,
no,
you know.
Yeah.
But by golly, they've taught him to be that way there. He's going to walk, you're going to get the paycheck here, you're going to walk worthy of it. And I love that. Mm-hmm. To me, that commends that store to me. There's just a character in it. There's
sure
something
is.
To it, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that. But it's just one of those things that if you're going to walk in these things of Jesus Christ, walk worthy of that vocation. Mm-hmm. You know, be one of those things that when people see you, they say, hey, that's one of those people that's got that vocation, and look how he walks, and he's got that thing.
That's what made Pastor Haynes' message yesterday so harsh.
Yeah.
I was like getting beat with a 2x4.
Then he says this, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering.
Well,
forbearing one another in love. If there's any one thing that I have noticed in the Black Creek Baptist Church in the last 3 weeks, that verse is completely failing. Mm-hmm. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If you'll just open your ears, I'm hearing more people.
Yes, sir.
Just a little annoyed here with this one, a little annoyed with that one, and I'm not going to go work because that one's working now, and I'm not going to be near this one, And I've heard more of that in the last 3 weeks than I've heard at any time since I've been here. Now, I hope it's just a little ripple. I hope it's nothing more than that. You know, the best of families has that happen, okay? The best of families. Old Amos.
You know, it's causing, you know, some families, obviously to skip churches, you know, church.
Yeah, and yeah, that's right. And it's just, first of all, walk with all lowliness. You know, if you think that you're equal to everyone else, you're no better than a communist. Okay? If you think you're better than everyone else, you're no better than a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. But if you can look at each person and actually think of them as better than yourself, you can walk as a Christian. You look at each person and say, they're more worthy of honor. They're more worthy to be respected. They're more worthy of the next honor coming along, and I'd like to see them get it rather. You can walk as a Christian. This whole idea, oh, I'm equal to anybody in here. So what? The communists think that. They don't live it, but they think it, you know, and such. And but it's that thing of walking with all lowliness and meekness, okay? With long suffering. Meekness is that thing again. You can't walk with lowliness if you're not meek. What's it mean to be meek? It means that you don't defend yourself when you're being attacked. I don't mean somebody's come up with a frying pan trying to beat your brains in or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they, you know, spread a rumor about Tanya. The best thing Tanya can do is be quiet. If tears come out her eyes, that's fine. Okay? That's actually better. Okay? But just be quiet. Someone walks up and says something about Ruth Ann that's terrible, and her just say, well, I feel bad that you feel that way. Okay. The worst thing you can do is go get a little concision of people. You know what they're saying about me, you know, and you know what she's really like. And so it's the worst thing you can ever do. Just leave it alone. Shut up. Okay. Sooner or later, everybody will have their turn to be talked about. I don't care who you are. Sooner or later, everybody will have their turn where somebody you don't like, everybody's talking about them. All that'll come up. The best thing you can ever do is don't be involved in that, because here's the rule of meekness. If God will defend you, why would you be stupid enough to do it yourself? Okay? You know, if right now some gang were to call out of Buffalo and say, you know, we're sick of that church, we got one of your tracks, we're going to come there and firebomb it. And the state police said, we're going to come there with everything we have. We've taken this serious. We're going to surround that place, and we're going to see to it that every member's got it. Now we can handle it. That'd be pretty crazy, okay? Now the thing is, if God will defend you, why would you be stupid enough to do it yourself? You know why? Because you don't think God will defend you.
That's right.
Now let's take that. What if God won't defend you? Then why should you? Okay? Why should you? You know, one of the great things, no one likes a bully. Nobody does. Everybody loves to see the underdog win. I love March Madness. It's just those first couple days, that thing with that little school you never heard of. You know, that last second shot, you see the big one go home. And, you know, and it's just, and that's just one of the greatest thrills ever, watching, the, you know, the little guy do that unbelievable feat or whatever, or the little guy winning and the underdog. We love that, okay? That's our nature and such. Be the underdog. Just be quiet. Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe he'll watch out for you? Has he fed you all your life? Has he seen to it you got clothed? Are you somebody that's trying to seek his face and know him? Are you one of those? I know you may screw up right and left and everything else, but are you one of those who put your life in his hand? Then let him defend you. And if he won't do it, there's a reason for that. I've had times when it would have gagged God to defend me. Would have gagged him if he'd had to come in and stick up for me. And the best thing I could do is just take my lumps. Just let everybody say what they're going to say. Just put up with it. There's no reason to even try to defend myself. Just let them throw the stones. Let them do what they want. For one thing, the Bible says this. When a man's being given lashes in that Old Testament, you couldn't give more than 40. You know why? Because after that, God changed sides. God's suddenly mad at you because you've given too much punishment. Okay? And don't you forget for 5 seconds, if you really deserve what people are saying, just shut up and take it. For one thing, people will respect you for that. That's one of those things. You don't feel it at first because you're flushed and angry and you're hot and you don't feel it. But if you'll just be quiet and let it ebb, it will go away. And you'll be glad you were quiet. There are certain things that have been said about me over the years, 2 or 3 things, that if I think about them just right, they still burn. They still tear me up that they got said. I still want to go to people and straighten that thing out. And you know what I've learned? Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone.
Well, I'm telling you.
Bill Randall used to say this. He used to quote his mother. His mother chewed snuff, red-haired, small, mean as could be, chain-smoked cigarettes. And she used to say this. She'd say, if you stir crap, it stinks.
She was right, though.
Yeah. You know, and you just, it's one thing to have a pile of it laying in the yard, but don't stir it. Okay? Just leave it alone. It's nasty. It's there. And I had to clean that up. Bill Randall's mother did not clean it up. Okay? Forget it, the word stir she changed? No. But.
You know, I agree with that. You know, just yesterday, I had that burning inside of me where I think that, you know, you would know, you know, maybe I should just settle this and, you know, try to get, and the Lord just said,
shh. Settle. Now, here's what you have to watch. If I were to attack Jennifer Balo just over her or anything else or something, that's one thing. But listen, and I mean this, if I attacked her over her office as a mother, okay, it's not wrong for you to defend that, okay? It's not wrong for you to say, hey, I may screw up, but I love my kids and this is what I do, okay? Your office is a different thing, okay? I can go ahead and say things about you, but if I go in there and say, look, only an idiot would do the produce this way. No, you defend your office. You straighten that out, okay? No, this is why I do this, okay? And you're going to see where the Apostle Paul defended his office, but he wouldn't defend himself. And that's a subtle difference, okay? Very subtle difference. When you go in there and you represent the Black Creek Baptist Church to those men, you defend what you do there, but not you.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But not you. And it's hard to always get that separate, okay, what that is. Are we attacking you as a person or attacking your office? And I don't know as I always have that straight, but I try real hard to keep that straight.
Amen, brother, yeah.
It's just to your honor. And I'll end with this. I always talk about this story, and I never forget reading this as a kid. The Russian author, and boy, his name escapes me. But he wrote a book called, or he wrote a short story called The Fool. And I don't think it's Tolstoy. It's another one. But Nope, it's a Russian author. But he wrote a short story called The Fool. And in it, it's set in Tsarist Russia at an aristocratic party where different people are invited. And there's a banker who's been invited, who's more usually on the lower echelons, but he's been invited to come with a top hat and be at kind of an aristocratic party. And as he's there, he walks into the kitchen because he's hungry, and the cook has just pulled a fish out of the oven that's been stuffed, it's huge, it's been baked, garlands all over it, and he smacked his lips. Mwah. Well, just then, his chief rival from the bank stepped in the kitchen and said, oh, kissing the cook, huh? Oh, you fool, I wouldn't kiss the cook. I'm smacking my lips over this fish. And he tried to repeat the sound. And, you know, it's like you sit on a chair and a weird sound, so you're trying to show everybody that was the cushion. And, so, you know, but it's one of those, he tries to repeat the sound, but the guy in the scene, it got under his skin, laughed at him a little bit. Ha ha ha, yeah, kissing the cook, wait till your wife finds out. And he just left. Well, then the guy sits in the kitchen, he thinks to himself, oh, that fool, I know what he'll do, he'll tell everyone. My wife will leave me. I'll get fired from my job in the bank. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll go around this party and I'll undo his damage. So he, the rest of the party, he just slowly sauntered to each person and said, you know that guy. You know what a fool he is. He walked in the kitchen. I was smacking my lips over the fish and he said it was the cook I was kissing. And you know how he's a scandal monger. And the people would say, oh, we know he's such a fool. Yes, we know. And after the end of the evening, he had managed to go to every single person and set them straight. Well, Monday he goes into work. They call him in the office and sack him. Scandal. He comes home. His wife is left. And he's just, why did that man do that to me? And he runs to the man. Why did you spread these rumors? You knew I was just smacking my lips over the fish. What are you talking about? And he said, yeah, when I smacked my lips over the fish. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Why did you tell everybody? I forgot about it. I didn't even tell anybody. And the guy, it ends with him going, who could it have been? Who could it have been? He was the one. By defending himself, everybody he defended himself to, he made himself look worse. You know? So the thing is, if an idiot's saying things about you, the last thing you want to do is to walk out there in a field of combat as their equal. Your truth equal to their lie. That's the dumbest thing you could ever do, is to give them that legitimacy. Hmm. Never give them that legitimacy. Just leave it alone. And there's times it'll hurt. Okay? If people come up and ask you, quietly tell them. But don't go on the offense. Okay? If it's your office that they're attacking, then yes, you defend that. And even then, be wise about how you do it. Okay? But just leave it alone. For one thing, whoever's attacking you that way, just stop and listen. Eventually, they'll do it to everybody. Okay? Eventually, they'll get everybody, and everybody will have their turn being attacked by that person. Just the way they are.
Even a fool is counted wise when they keep their mouth
shut. They're counted wise when they keep their mouth shut. When I'm there at Radio Shack, every once in a while, we'll have one of these 20-year-old kids working, and some older woman or guy will stand and just chew them out for something. Don't you know anything? You're just an idiot, and I'm mad. And I'll watch that kid really kind of hurt. And when that person walks out, I'll just always walk over and say, they do that to everyone in their life. They've done it to every one of their kids. They've done it to their spouse. They've done it to everybody they know and said all those horrible things. And I said, don't even worry about it. Just leave it alone. That's just the way that person is. Their life is miserable. Their life is awful. Okay? Don't wrestle with that. Be neat.
That's right, yeah.
Okay? All right. Dale closes.
Yeah. Father, we do thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the things we've learned, Lord. We just pray that you get everybody home safe. Bring us back here again Sunday, Lord, and just be with the services here, Lord, and just help us to be meek, Lord. Help us to not defend ourselves. If you're not going to do it, let us just leave it alone, Lord, and just pray that we learn how to love each other and put up with each other and handle things, Lord. That's the whole part of coming here and learning to do things, Lord, is to put it into play, not just hear it, but also do it, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you've done in our lives and you are going to do. Well, thank you for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.